Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, December the 19th. Do you recall the hubbub during this year's state budget process when Governor Doyle and the legislature approved the transfer of $200 million from the state's Injured Patients Compensation Fund, which is supposed to be used for medical malpractice claims? They transferred it to the general fund so the money instead could be used for other budget purposes. And during the state budget before that, lots of people howled when the governor moved $400 million from the Transportation Fund, which is supposed to pay for transportation needs, to the general fund to pay for public schools. Is there anything wrong with our lawmakers or the governor transferring money from a segregated fund in the state budget? A segregated fund is paid for through some sort of user fee and designated for a specific purpose, and putting that money in the general fund to be used for other government costs. Is it okay or not to use the money from a segregated fund to plug a budget hole or to pay for an unrelated program? Well, our guest lawmaker this hour says this practice is wrong, and the Constitution should be amended to stop it from happening in the future. We will wonder if you agree or not, or what questions you have. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest this hour is Doc Hines, a Republican representative from Oxford and co-author of Assembly Joint Resolution 34. It's a proposed constitutional amendment that passed in the Assembly last week. It still needs more legislative approval before it will be put on a ballot for your consideration. But we will consider it this hour. Representative Hines joins us by phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So this passed by quite a bit in the Assembly. The vote was 90-7. So apparently this is something that's not dividing Democrats and Republicans very much.
This is one of the things that pleases me immensely, because it did pass with such a wide margin.
Why do you think that is? Why is there so much support for this?
Well, those of us that are in the legislature, as you talked before, in establishing a budget, out of necessity, it was felt that we needed to get this money from whatever, wherever we could get it. And so it's just too tempting to take this money from these segregated funds. Well, if this constitutional amendment is passed, this will stop that.
Yeah. So why do you think it's important to stop this?
Okay, I guess there isn't a taxpayer in the state of Wisconsin that at some time or another, or on a regular basis, doesn't pay into some type of segregated fund, whether it's from a conservation fund or environmental funds, lottery fund, recycling fund, on and on. Everybody makes contributions to these funds with the idea that that money will be left there and used for that specific purpose.
Right. So, for example, the transportation fund is funded through things like our registration fees,
right,
or even the gas tax, I believe. So that's supposed to be used for roads and transportation needs. But in the case of the budget, the previous budget, the governor used $400 million of that fund to pay for other things.
That's right. I mean, and we can't put all of the blame on the governor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the legislature is just as bad at raiding funds, has been, as the governor. If this is passed and ratified by the people, the voters of the state of Wisconsin, that will stop that. Legislators then will be responsible to get the money from different sources or do without. We won't be able to steal it anymore.
Yeah. Well, the governor defended that that transfer of money from the transportation fund by saying his priority was to make sure that our education system was funded properly, and that sometimes when times are tough, you have to make these priorities.
Sure. I understand. And we used the same rationale when we raided the Patients' Compensation Fund this year.
Mm-hmm. But if those transfers didn't take place, then some critical needs of the state the services like education or healthcare would do without, and wouldn't that be
maybe mm-hmm. maybe? But my guess is, and we won't know until this is put into place. We still by law have to pass a budget,
mm-hmm.
and so we have to get the money from someplace. Now, it's true. What you're saying is could very well be true, that we might have to do without some particular service if it was deemed that by the legislature to do that. But my guess is that what will actually happen is that they will either borrow the money or provide money through a taxation to pay for that.
Mm-hmm. So you don't buy the argument, say, with this patient compensation fund, where $200 million was taken from that this past budget, that fund had a big surplus. It wasn't using all that money. And what good does it do, according to the supporters of that transfer, to just leave the money there when there was another need somewhere else?
Of course, that's always been the argument when funds are raided, is that, well, they don't need that. I think probably I would like to go back to when I was first introduced to this. When I first went into the legislature, a disease diagnostic lab had a fund of a couple $1 million. This was collected through farmers and veterinarians that were providing this money for the purpose of developing a diagnostic system specifically for the chronic wasting disease, CJD.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as they were preparing to balance this budget, they looked at that $2 million and said, boy, we'll just use that because they don't have the equipment and stuff like that to go to work right now.
Yeah.
So the proposal was they were going to take that money. Well, I prevailed and kept them from taking it all, but This is what has happened on the patient compensation fund. The law was very specific that this money could only be used for this, and it was argued
yeah.
on the floor of the Assembly and the Senate that you can't use this for anything other than that. Didn't make a bit of difference. We just went ahead and took it anyhow.
We're going to check our weather forecast and then continue talking with Doc Hines, a Republican state representative from Oxford and co-author of a proposed constitutional amendment that would prohibit using money in segregated funds in the state budget to pay for unrelated programs. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, December the 19th. Coming up this afternoon, John Munson is in for Ben Marins for At Issue. After 5 o'clock, what were the most significant medical advancements in 2007? John and his guest will discuss 2007 and the year in medicine. That's coming up after 5. We're talking with Doc Hines. Doc Hines is a Republican state representative from Oxford. He's co-author of a proposed constitutional amendment that would stop the practice of raiding segregated funds in the state budget to pay for unrelated programs or to plug budget holes. Segregated funds are funds that are designated for a specific purpose and funded through user fees, like car registration fees going into the transportation fund, or hunting license fees going into the conservation fund, or the fees paid by physicians to go into the patient's compensation fund to be used for malpractice damages. These funds have been raided in the past to pay for other programs, and Doc Hines says that's not right, and we should change the Constitution to prevent this from happening in the future, to prevent the governor and the legislature from raiding these funds. This resolution passed in the State Assembly last week, and we wonder what you think about it. Whether you agree or disagree or have any questions, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. To the phones we go, and Lisa in Columbus is with us first. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good.
Good. Doc, I wanted to thank you for this legislation, for your efforts on it. I just have a comment that I want to make. I work very, very hard, as well as a lot of other advocates against domestic violence, to try and get funding for that topic, for domestic violence prevention. And we fight tooth and nail to get any little shred of monies that we can get. And we simply want to hang on to it. When those monies are gone, then we're defeating the purpose of trying to advocate and trying to do the work that we, you know, so ardently try to do. So I just wanted to add that in, that, you know, once we start losing money for funding for domestic violence and grant funding that is out there, it's just kind of ruining our future as much as not having education funding.
Yeah.
So it's you know, I hope you see what I mean.
Yeah, I do. But at least there is a segregated fund for domestic violence programs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there?
Sometimes there are, and sometimes we get donations and funding that it is specifically for domestic violence, and you know, so it depends on where the source is from. So.
Right. But and I appreciate the call, Lisa, and the sentiment, and I'm sure you do too, Representative Hines. But what you're talking about here is our segregated funds that are in our state budget, isn't that right?
That's correct. But Lisa is absolutely correct, and as funds increase in size, it is tempting when we need it for something else to take that money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This constitutional amendment would absolutely prevent that. People like Lisa and throughout the whole state, and whatever their concern is, if they're paying money in to a fund, they could be assured that that money would be left there.
Right. I guess I was confused. If I give a donation to my local domestic abuse agency, the state government's not going to somehow go into that that fund and take that away.
No, that would be different.
Right. James in West Bend. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. This is an exceptional subject, and I appreciate it being addressed in the state of Wisconsin. My comments are twofold. And that is that the governor and legislature's stripping of transportation dollars to fund the teachers in Wisconsin, although, you know, it's an applauded function, there's a big trickle, and that is that there's a big cascade behind that, in that he has taken from every person that drives or has driven or will drive in the state of Wisconsin the very basic of road maintenance, the filling of potholes, the snow being removed before the commute in the morning. And the cascade is that we have longer commutes, we have more accidents, we have a lot of problems associated with that decision, okay? And the second part of that is, these are decisions that support the next election. I mean, they support his interests. I mean, look at the committees and the groups of people that he's gathering behind him, because he contributed millions of dollars to their area. I mean, it's very frustrating to take the money that we as a taxpayer is being directed in budget for a specific area and to see it wiped away because the legislature or the governor decides that it's more important in another area. And that's
right.
My comment.
All right, Doc Hines.
James, I couldn't agree with you more. You really hit the nail on the head, because just because we pay a fee or increase a fee doesn't necessarily guarantee that our services are going to be better under our current system. If we can be assured that the money that we pay in for registration or license or whatever it is into that fee will be used for that specific purpose, I believe that it makes the taxpayer feel a lot more comfortable to know that it's going to be used for that very purpose and not taken for another purpose. Not that the purposes that sometimes the funds are used for, but it doesn't mean that the original intent should be usurped.
Yeah. I have to ask, though, Representative Hines, do we have more potholes and are people getting in more accidents and such because of this transfer of the money from the transportation fund?
Well, I can't say that, and I can't say that that is that actually is taking place. But that isn't something that specifically I would be trying to address. Mm-hmm. I think the individual departments are responsible for that. And if it is bad enough and the need is great enough, we will find the money to do the things that have to be done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, James, for the call. Rich in Appleton. Hi.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. This is a very interesting subject. I am the vice president of our church, and obviously on a much smaller scale, I've been on council for probably 7 or 8 years, and we've been doing this for probably 20 years. We have a treasurer who is a graduate of Lawrence, very versed in this kind of stuff, and what our plan, it's not a plan, but our church is not funded very well, so we have a very tight budget. But we have programs we need to keep in place. So what we do is we have a specials and memorials fund, which has a fair amount of money, which is exactly what you're talking about. People give to choir robes, hymnals, things of that sort. And we do borrow that money, but we always have the intent, and it will happen, if the people need the choir robes in the year 2012, we will get the money for those. So it is kind of robbing from Paul to pay Peter on a temporary basis, if you will. So my question would be, is what you're talking about here, are the funds intended to be paid when needed, or is the money just lost?
No. The funds are to be used for what they're allocated for. They're not. Now, it is true that there can be transfer of funds within the departments for other purposes, but they would not be able to be taken out of that individual department, say the Department of Transportation or the Veterans Affairs or an agency like that. So there was some concern, and so there is an amendment to the amendment, bipartisan, that will protect that. We still can remove those funds from one part of a specific agency to another. It's essential that money be left within that individual department that it was designated for.
Yeah. We have just a minute before a news break, Representative Hines. This passed the Assembly last week, but it needs to, because it's a proposed constitutional amendment, pass two consecutive sessions of the legislature before it's placed on the ballot for voters to ratify. Was this the first House to pass this?
That's right, in this session. Now, the Senate needs to address this issue and bring it up and pass it. Once this is done, then following the next election cycle, we'll go through the same thing over again. Mm-hmm. But it is absolutely essential that the Senate take this up and pass it.
Doc Hines, our guest, a Republican state representative from Oxford and co-author of Assembly Joint Resolution 34, which is a proposed constitutional amendment that would prohibit the transfer of funds from segregated funds in the state budget to the general fund. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 6:36 on this Wednesday, December the 19th. Do we want a constitutional amendment that would limit the governor and the legislature from transferring money from certain accounts in the state budget called segregated funds to pay for unrelated programs or to plug holes in the state budget? Governor Doyle and the legislature did this with the last couple of budgets, like when the governor transferred money from the transportation fund to pay for educational needs in the last budget, and when the legislature approved transferred money in the current budget from a malpractice compensation fund to pay for other health care services. We are talking with the co-author of a resolution that passed in the State Assembly last week by a vote of 90-7 that would prohibit this practice in the future. It still needs approval in the State Senate and approval in another legislative session before it goes to us, the voters, for ratification on a state ballot. We are talking with State Representative Doc Hines about why he wants to amend the Constitution to stop this transferring of money in the future, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234, 263-1890 if you're in Madison, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Brian in La Crosse. Hi, Brian.
How you doing?
Good.
First of all, let me say it's a little intimidating to go ahead and contradict Mr. Hines. People in everyday life go ahead and rob Peter to pay Paul. They take one credit card, pay it off with another credit card, and basically just try to go ahead and balance their life. First of all, being a veteran and an avid hunter, I expect my funds to go to a place where, I pay the dues and everything else for. But at the same time, there's got to be an approval process where they say, hey, listen, we need more money here. So there's got to be a representative somewhere in the line that basically says, all right, you're right, this is more important right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Representative Hines?
I agree. And there are provisions so that this money can be used. The way this would work and the way the legislation is drawn up is that the entire fund would be abolished and done away with if it was necessary, if the legislature deemed that it was necessary to do that, just a majority of the legislators to pass that. Now, in order then to recreate it, it would take a two-thirds majority of both houses to recreate a new fund. So it's not the end of the world. Money still can be transferred if it really becomes necessary to do so.
Yeah, by abolishing the segregated fund.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, why not, Representative Hines, just why even have these segregated funds to begin with? Why not, if there's the hunting license fee that goes into the general fund?
Well, I think our lawmakers have felt over a long period of time, if they could tell taxpayers or the contributors to funds that this money was to be used for that specific purpose. Let's take just a small thing like the duck hunter that puts money aside for in the stamp program.
Mm-hmm.
That money is supposed to be used then for the habitat of the ducks. Okay, well, so legislators that have no interest in that sort of thing say, well, let's just take that money. But that is wrong. It is flat wrong. There are other ways to get the money. We don't have to steal it.
Steve in Lake County, Illinois. Hi.
Good morning. I am also an avid hunter, but being an out-of-state hunter, when I go to Wisconsin, of course, I pay my additional fee for out-of-state hunting license. And I'm appalled by the idea that the money that I spend, I don't mind spending it because I usually believe it goes to a good cause. It's going to conservation and going to a department that's going to use it to benefit the environment and of allowing me to hunt. And I'm appalled by the idea that some other part of the government that is not prudent enough with its money or for whatever reason, would choose to rock that money out of that fund to pay for their services. I just wanted to make that comment.
Mm-hmm. And there you go from an out-of-stater, Doc Hines.
Yeah, that's good. Well, this is why we're doing this. Now, I'm not doing this all on my own by any stretch of the imagination. I have proposed this legislation because constituents have come to me from the time that I went into the assembly. That is what I've heard over and over again. What can we do to stop the raiding of these funds? Well, this can do it. Now, the next step, of course, is that the Senate must take it up and must pass it.
Yeah. Here's an email from Kurt in Westby, who says, I did not agree with the medical funds transfer. That was the $200 million from the Patients'
right.
Compensation Fund. However, he writes, almost every school district transports students on a regular basis. When the buses are filled up with fuel, the school districts are paying money into the transportation fund. So I had no problem with that transfer. Can't you say maybe that some of these transfers are paying for or going to the users?
Well, like I said before, if there is a transfer within the department, that would be legal.
Yeah, but you're saying taking money from the transportation fund and giving it to the schools, even though the schools pay into the transportation fund, is still paying for an unrelated program.
That's right. Yeah. That's correct.
Tom in Viroqua, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for doing the show. I think this is very important. Unlike the transportation fund, however, which in that case, although the money was taken from the transportation department, at the same time or very shortly thereafter, a bond was passed so that the same amount of money, or actually even more, was delivered to the department in terms of a long-term bond. So all of the roads, all of the kinds of work that money was supposed to do was still being done. For two biennial budgets, however, the governor and the legislature stole half of the money from the public benefits money, which funds our focus on energy efficiency program. This money was not, which comes from our utility bills, a surcharge on utility bills, was never made up with any other funds. So essentially we went for 4 years with a very hobbled program of doing anything about our energy use here in the state. Now we've got utilities demanding rate increases, new power lines, new power plants, all kinds of things, because we haven't done the kinds of efficiency. In the last energy bill last year, this money was taken totally away from the control of the legislature and put under the Public Service Commission, which is probably the only safe way of keeping it. But I really question whether this, if the opportunity to transfer money within departments, in the case of the hunting fees, whether this is going to pass muster with the voters, because the hunting lobby and the conservation lobby is just going to go up in arms to know that their hunting fees are not going for to, you know, have the potential of being transferred to other DNR activities. And if DNR has a hard time now dealing with its public relations perception, if that money is going to be transferred out of those monies, they're going to have a whole harder time maintaining their reputation within the community.
Yeah. What about that, Doc Hines?
I think there's some misinterpretation here. I really don't believe that those monies are going to be transferred away from the individual department that they're put into.
Yeah. And Tom brought up this focus on energy, or this energy conservation fund.
I think that this is something that won't happen in the future. If we pass this, money going into that would be used specifically for what it was intended for.
Yeah.
And that's the reason for this. And you have to realize that a lot of people a lot smarter than I am have bought into this. It has nothing to do with politics either. This is bipartisan. Senator Brisky, a Democrat from Eland, is the co-author of this with me. And it's supported by legislators across the board.
Yeah, and passing some sort of a bonding issue to deliver the money to a fund, like Tom said happened with the transportation fund, that wouldn't cut it under this?
No. Mm-hmm. And that's what is going to happen. If we don't have the money for a project that is deemed necessary by the legislature, they're going to have to borrow it, or they're going to have to do without. Mm-hmm. This is it. it will change the entire budgetary process. And we are probably the, as far as my research can determine, we are the only state that has taken this step that would be across the board of stopping the raiding of the segregated funds.
We're talking with Doc Hines, a Republican state representative from Oxford and co-author of Assembly Joint Resolution 34, which would prohibit the raiding of segregated funds in the state budget process. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, we'll talk about the economy. President Bush tried to reassure us all on Monday that the economy was still doing pretty good. And we'll wonder if you feel that way and get the lowdown from our guest economist coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now we're talking with Doc Hines. He's a state representative from Oxford. He is co-author of Assembly Joint Resolution 34, which is a proposed constitutional amendment that would prohibit state lawmakers or the governor from transferring money from designated funds or segregated funds that are paid for, usually through user fees, and are designated for a specific purpose. And in the last number of budget cycles, we have seen money from these segregated funds transferred to the general fund to pay for other purposes. And Doc Hines says that should stop, and it would stop under this proposed constitutional amendment. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Mike in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I don't really care much for this proposal, and here's the reason why. I think the governor was right in taking money from the transportation fund last time, and I wish he'd do more of it. The user fees concept is just is not a good one here. For example, they're going to increase the price of a driver's license this year, and the price of the fee associated with getting a license vehicle license plates. They're going to increase both of those substantially this year, and I'm not going to be driving anymore. Why do I need all these multi-billion dollar highway projects if I'm not going to be driving more? Mm-hmm. It's not a user fee. It's a way to get more money for highways.
Well, the people who are driving are paying it, though, so it is a user fee, isn't it, Mike?
No, they're not driving anymore. I pay vehicle license fees now, but I'm not going to be driving anymore, so why should I pay more in vehicle license fees and driver's license?
Well, I don't get it. But anyway, Doc Hines?
Yes, I agree that you're right, that our fees are going up. But just because the fees go up doesn't mean that our service is going to be any better. This is one of the reasons why we're trying to stop the rating of segregated funds, fees, if you will, to be used for other purposes. In the last three budget cycles, we took $1.6 billion of segregated funds and used it for purposes other than what it was intended for. I think the voters in the state of Wisconsin have got to realize that the money that they set aside, they think that they're putting aside for specific purposes, needs to be left for that specific purpose.
Thanks, Mike. Todd in Oconomowoc is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I guess the comments just made lead to my comments are, over the last three budget cycles, the raids on transportation, the raids, the one-time payout on the cigarette deal, and I can't remember what the last one was. You had mentioned it before. Directly related to a tax increase in the next year, user fee increase, if that's what you want to call. Our licenses went up because he stole from the roads. Cigarette taxes went up because he took the one-time payout. I mean, in the public sector, previous caller said, well, you always rob Peter to pay Paul. In the private sector, that would be misappropriation of funds. If people would be going to jail for that. Our politicians don't seem to have self-control when they see money sitting in an account. Mm-hmm. And we did have a former governor that, when we had surpluses, actually gave the money back to the people that paid it in.
Yeah, that Lee Dreyfus. Doc Hines?
Yes, I agree. I couldn't agree more. And it is extremely tempting for legislators to say, well, we got to have this money from someplace, and gee, there's all this money set over here. Well, let's just take that money because we can legally do that. This will stop that. It will then make legislators much more responsible. They will have to come up with a source of funding different than taking it from a segregated fund.
Yeah. A similar sentiment from Brian in Monona in this email, who says one can, in an Orwellian fashion, call these actions raids of or budget balancing, but in fact, it's simply theft. Tommy Thompson tried this kind of theft with the employee trust fund accounts years ago and was subsequently spanked and fined by the state Supreme Court. The court recognized theft when it saw it. Do you remember that, Doc Hines?
Yes, Joy. Oh. And this is something that I have to reiterate. This is not a partisan issue. This goes across the board, has nothing to do with whether you're Republican or a Democrat, has nothing to do with whether you're the legislature or whether you're the governor. It has to do with being honest.
Yeah. It seems to me it was Governor McCallum at the time who did the transfer of the money from the tobacco settlement, or am I...
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
Thank you very much, Todd. Nick in Prairie Farm. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just have a quick question. If a department is going to have a surplus in their budget, would they be authorized to transfer that money to another department because that is outside the legislature?
No. No, they would not.
Okay. That's the only comment I had. Thank
All
you.
All right. Thanks very much, Nick. Another email from Joe in Madison. Even with the bipartisan support in the Assembly, does Doc have any support in the Senate to get this passed? We mentioned you have a Democratic co-author, Roger Bresky. Also, do you know how much money we are talking about in terms of money that has been raided in the past?
Yes. The last question, it was $1.6 billion in the last three sessions, in the last three budget cycles. From the standpoint of support in the Senate, yes, there are many senators that will vote for this. What has to be done is the president of the Senate has to schedule this for a vote on the floor in order for it to go the next step. So I would urge people to contact their senators and specifically the president and urge him to schedule this. Remind them of the bipartisan and extreme support where you have 90 of in favor of it in the Assembly and only 7 opposed.
Mm-hmm. Jan in Green Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, you know, one thing I just wanted to mention, you know, people don't realize, like the gentleman that mentioned before, you know, he's not going to be driving, so why should he have to pay these transportation fees? At the same time, you know, if you've ever bought anything from a store, for example, Walmart really depends on, you know, getting things to their stores, you know, via trucks. Those trucks are using our transportation infrastructure, you know, and that has to be maintained and kept up in some way. Or, for example, you know, physicians practicing. You know, a lot of physicians are moving from Wisconsin because our medical malpractice is ridiculously high. And so, you know, I think these fees and, you know, help provide for those services that pretty much everybody uses.
Mm-hmm. Doc Hines?
Yes, I agree. I couldn't agree more. It's like saying, well, I don't have any kids in school, so why should mm-hmm. I pay school tax? I mean, that isn't the way our system works. I mean, we all have to be involved, and we all have to pay our fair share. But we shouldn't have money stolen from us that we put aside for a specific purpose.
You know, I'm wondering, the State Medical Society filed a lawsuit over the transfer of that money from the Patients' Compensation Fund. Might not the courts put an end to this by saying that's illegal, you can't do that?
On this specific fund, yes. It is possible that that could happen. I don't know. I I'm not a lawyer, even those mm-hmm. people that are, sometimes there's a difference of opinion on this. So.
Yeah, and this, you think it would just be this specific fund, maybe
oh,
not all
of it would only be this specific
mm-hmm.
fund.
Yeah. And Charlie in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, basically, I thought that was the purpose behind user fees, is that the people who use the services pay for them, which takes the pressure off the general population and the general tax base, so that if you start throwing it back into the main pot there, then everybody will start paying for services that I use that they don't have anything to do with. Basically, if you're a truck driver and you spend a lot of money on fuel, and suddenly they take that money out of the user fees and use it for something else, suddenly as a truck driver using a lot of fuel, I'm paying a lot more for general education than the person next to me who has a different occupation.
Mm-hmm. Doc Hines?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And there are hundreds of reasons why we shouldn't be doing this. This is just one. Mm-hmm. And it's dependent upon people like you to stand up and tell your senators, okay, we've gone this far in the assembly. Now let's see if you will support this too.
Well, Doc Hines, I have to say that I wasn't sure what kind of caller response we were going to get with this particular hour, thinking it was kind of nuts and bolts and numbers. And our lines have been packed with people who have something to say about this. So you've got one that has a lot of people's interest. Thanks a lot for joining us. Doc Hines, a Republican state representative from Oxford, co-author of Assembly Joint Resolution 34. It passed in the state assembly last week. It's a proposed constitutional amendment to end the practice of raiding segregated funds. This is the Ideas Network.